Let's go ahead and do a quick check-in. Since there's four of us, we have some time to stretch a little bit and say hello. Maybe a minute or two. I think all of you, or Ren and Ashley, you guys posted in the team group, but let's go around and just do a quick check-in. And how's everybody doing? How's your holiday weekend? And any quick business updates for us before we dive into talking about systems and support. So, la la la, let's see here. I'll start with you, Ash. If that's okay.
Yep. I'm not on mute. Okay. I am good. Holiday weekend was not really a holiday weekend. Well, for a lot of different reasons. COVID, obviously, and then obviously, I have fond nose, but my husband's dog passed away. So that was kind of a bummer, more than a bummer. I can't even, yeah. But so that kind of took up a lot of the weekend and didn't really do too much. We did try to, we got out for a hike and stuff and all of that. But regardless, just, you know, dealing with some of that and trying to be there for him and I don't know, for him. And it's hard. It is harder in COVID, I feel like, because he's not working either because his industry is still shut down. So there's like no distractions. But he'll be okay. It just kind of sucks. So fresh right now. But onward and upward from there. And then business related, my consulting stuff is taking up way too much of my time to where I'm actually considering telling them that maybe like on Fridays I just don't work for them, and just so I can have a day to, I don't know if it's possible, we'll see, but so I can have a day to like focus on my coaching stuff and like get stuff done. Like I really was hoping to make good progress this week and last with like my marketing copy and my website and doing that, but it's just like there's never seems to be any time for me to just sit down and write. I feel like I'm running from one, you know, between the consulting stuff and then also coaching consults or whatnot. I feel like I'm just running from call to call to call or work or whatever deadline that I have for them. So I am serious. I don't know when I'll ask them about it, but maybe in the next couple of weeks I may be like, I just need a day to focus on my own business. I know that kind of like I'm close enough with the people that I'm working with that they know, and I think they're sensitive to, they know why I left the corporate world. So I think they would probably be open to it. There would need to be probably some flexibility with my time, but at least I could plan to dedicate Fridays or one day a week, whether Friday seems to probably be the best day, the quieter day, to do that. Cause I really just need like blocks of time to focus on my own stuff. And so, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I feel like I want to do all my website stuff and everything. Like, I don't know, this morning, like I was listening to some of those webinar videos that you sent over, the animated videos, Fawn, that you sent over on the three principles. And I was like, this stuff, learning about this stuff lights me up. Like, I want to do this all day. Like, I don't want to be on corporate shit calls. that's kind of what spurred the whole, like, I've got to, I don't know, find something that works better than what has been working in terms of being able to do what I want it to be able to still move my business forward in the way that I want to move it forward, while also, you know, continuing to do the consulting stuff because it's the money maker right now, but in a way that I'm still feel like I'm making progress on my stuff. So that's on it.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Really appreciate it. And that is such a, for any of us entrepreneurs who are spinning multiple plates, or, you know, whether that's we have a part-time thing or we're freelancing or we're consulting, or even with like we have a couple of like major clients but we're still trying to like build things on the site. It's so relatable, and this is something that it sounds like this call theme is really timely because it's something that is important to pay attention to, because it can start to bleed into, it's like gradual, it's like the boiling water, right? Like, oh, cool, yeah, it's totally fine. I can do 50-50 or whatever with my time. And then it's like, wait a minute, like,
it's not 50-50 anymore.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for opening with that. Hopefully tonight's exercises and resources will be helpful for that.
Cool.
Cool. How about you, Ms. Kim? How are you doing?
I don't know. it's taking up, like, I feel like all my energy just focusing and maybe over-focusing on not feeling well. But I am still coaching. So that is a good thing. I'm still doing my It Works stuff because all I have to do is kind of on my phone. But, so I feel like I've fallen behind on my marketing, like trying to keep up with different things. Like I stopped a while ago doing the bi-weekly MailChimp emails. I stopped that a while ago. But like I did want to do a second principles thing and I didn't do that. And I wanted to put more of the branding story and get some pictures done for my website, but I haven't done that either. Not feeling well, cause it comes on like all of a sudden. So one day I'll have all the plans in the world and then I'm laying down on the couch or in my bed and I'm doing yoga. I stopped doing kind of like the strenuous, like I was trying to get more into the power stuff, but I calmed that down a little, but I'm still doing it, just kind of stretchy. But I have an appointment on Thursday, so I'm hoping I will get more answers, at least closer to what is the deal. So, yeah. Because I've been to emergency, like, probably more than I ever have in my life in 4 weeks and back into my doctor. So, and they're just like, well, everything's fine. And I'm like, okay, it's not fine. Like, my body doesn't do this. And so, I don't know. We'll see, hopefully Thursday. At least closer to you.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So it's fluctuating. It's pretty up and down. Comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, like it'll, like my blood pressure the other day for me was high. The hospital said that's not really high. Well, it's high when it gets to be 200 over 100. Well, how about, I don't want to wait then, you know. Right. So it was like 145 over 98. I'm thinking the bottom is pretty high, people, so I'm not waiting till the top, you know. So I sat there and, you know, they just sent my potassium was low and my blood pressure was high for me, I guess. So I don't know. So it just, you know, and my stomach is a little better, but.
Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
I'm glad you have a follow-up on Thursday, maybe get some more clarity on what's going on here.
Yeah. It's for my artery because they think it might be clogged. But my doctor said that I am too young, too small, and my cholesterol is good. But my family, it could be genetic. So, so when I was in the hospital for 2 days, they found that it was clogged like 50 to 69% range. So I have to go to, he said it doesn't make sense, but he still wants me to get tested again. So
I'm glad you're getting things looked at.
Yeah.
I'm assessing this. I have a name I wrote down for you. I'll send it over. This doctor who specializes in chronic suppressed emotion and pain. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a fascinating, actually it was my audiobook, and then I was listening to an interview. This doctor has an insane success rate curing people or helping people cure themselves by understanding the emotional component of their bodily illnesses and manifestations. So not to say that's what it is, but I heard that and I was like,
yeah. I'll take anything at this point because I know some of it is my anxiety. I know that it is because even in talking about it, like I can feel like, you know, my insides going, you know, but so.
Yeah. Okay. I'll send that over. And then there's also, there was also this really interesting article by Inc. that the headline caught my eye, of course, as a musician and composer. I was like, yeah, right. The headline was something like, this song reduces anxiety by 75% in patients in repeated studies. And I was like, come on. And I read the thing and I looked at the studies and it's legit. And it's like this really peaceful new age composition that was specifically composed with the frequencies for anxiety reduction in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll send you the link. I'll just post that in LFB because it's so interesting. But I listened to it. Someone like made a YouTube of it that's like 10 hours long or something. So I just put it on the other day while I was working and it like I felt so zenned out.
Thank you. And thank you for the other resources too. They are really, really helpful.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Anything I can ever send, I will.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that share. And I'm glad that you're here. Thanks for being here amongst all of that.
Thank you, because I need a distraction.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
And it sounds like, Ren, you're kind of feeling that today too, having a day.
Yeah, and there's no real reason for it. I think it's just, I don't know. It's like I've been kind of looking for work for the last, like, month or two, but not really. I've been trying to focus on getting the studio off the ground. But the reality is I think I am going to need to find something at least part-time. And I really don't want to for a lot of reasons. and Zach's going to be losing his job here in the next month. August 10th, I think, is projected to be his last day. So he's going to be going into the dislocated workers program, which is good because he goes back to school and he gets unemployment for 2 years while he's going to school. The downside of that, though, is we have to figure out how we're going to fill in the rest of what we actually need, you know, like figure out exactly how much we need monthly and how to fill that in. So probability is I really ought to find a part-time, at least a part-time gig. And again, I'm really being resistant to it, which is ridiculous, but I am. So I've been like looking for stuff and finding mostly things like 75 miles away or further that's actually in my field. And I don't want to do that commute anymore. So I don't know. I just got to get over myself or something. I just work through it. So it's just one of those. Nothing bad has happened. It's just a day.
Uh-huh.
Just, you feel it sometimes.
Absolutely.
And 2 weeks ago, our old mama kitty, she had 6 teeth pulled. So she just finished her last antibiotic today. She's like 14. So that's... And they're like, give her soft foods for 2 weeks. And I'm like, well, technically I can start introducing hard foods again to see if she wants them. But I kind of have a feeling, you know, because they're all top teeth that are gone.
Oh, my God. Does she look hilarious? Like,
you can't really tell. So, and I haven't lifted her lips up yet. Like, it's like the first, they told me when I picked her up, they're like, okay, so for the first 2 days at least, don't go lifting her lips to try to look in there because it's got to heal.
Aww.
I mean,
she's okay.
Yeah, she's okay. I initially took her in because she had a respiratory infection that wasn't going away. So we got antibiotics for that. And then they're like, hey, by the way, I'm like, yeah, I kind of figured.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Poor little thing.
I know, but she's fine now. She's just missing, like, 6 more teeth. That poor cat has, like, hardly any teeth.
14 is impressive. For
yeah. For some reason, the vet's office has her listed as like 12 and a half, and I'm like, I know that's not right, because she's as old as Izzy would be.
I had cats, both of our cats growing up, they passed when they were 20.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, pretty incredible. But yeah, when kitties get old, it's like you can got to pay attention.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the twins are not that far behind. They're like, I think it was 2009, so they're like 11 years old. So I've got an appointment for Mao to get her shots and stuff, because I have to take her into the groomer soon, because she is starting to turn into just a mess of knots, because she's a long hair.
Well, I hope everything is okay with Kitty's recovery.
Gosh. Yeah, she's fine. She's like getting into trouble and starting shit again, so.
That's usually a good sign, right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for checking in, Ren. I would be happy to explore this resistance that is coming up for you, maybe at the tail end of this call. I know Ash has to hop up early, and maybe we could set aside 15 minutes or so at the end of this call to explore that. Because it sounds like you're feeling some, like, I know I got to do it, but I don't want to do it, which is understandable. I get it.
Right. Like, I know what part of it is, because I know some of the resistance is coming just from, like, the whole pandemic situation, because, like, most of the jobs that are out there that are available are going to be public-facing. And with him being diabetic in particular, I don't really want to be around a lot of people, but it may not be, an option. And
let's brainstorm this at the end. I'd love to brainstorm this with you, because I think there could be.
I know that's not the only issue. I'm just being a toddler. I don't want to do it. I will do it. I just don't want to do it.
Who feels that way about something or another in their life from time to time? I know. Okay, so let's talk about kind of segueing from that into systems and support. One of the things that I'm going to bookmark, Ren, and we can circle back to at the end of this call, is how you might be able to kind of, because you have so many skill sets that lend themselves to being supportive to companies, to individuals, entrepreneurs, et cetera. So maybe have that bookmark in your mind as we explore some of the things tonight in terms of how you might be able to leverage that and maybe monetize that as part of all of this. So now that we've done a quick general check-in, I would love to do a check-in more specifically to what's not working in our current situations in terms of our workflow, our efficiency, and our processes and systems, if we have any. So that kind of came up organically already in our share. So let's dig into that a little bit more. I have some pointed questions for us. And go ahead and grab a piece of paper if you have one nearby to just jot down your thoughts. Because I'll ask a question and give us about 30 seconds or so to write down our reply or response to that. So the idea here is, as a first step, as all of you ladies know, awareness is key. And one of the things that I have to remind myself of time and time again is to take a moment to do an audit of all the things and what's working and what's not, and instead of just like plowing forward just because I can or barely can or whatever. So tonight's call, I have a workbook and some resources to share with you ladies, but first I want to do a bit of a just kind of a free form exercise around that awareness piece and what's not working as well as it could, or what seems to feel, you know, not as efficient as we'd like it to. And then we'll walk through, and then we'll kind of touch into the opposite end of the spectrum as well. We'll do this for maybe 10 minutes or so, and then we'll shift into the workbook and then talk about some of the more like practical ways in terms of what to do about this and how to deal with it. All right. So first prompt is, where are you feeling overwhelmed or bottlenecked or like your plate is too full? Like you're at a buffet and you're looking down your plate and you're like, oh God, what did I do? Bottlenecked, overwhelmed, too much. It'll take 30 seconds or so to jot down your thoughts about that and let it rip. Like let all the everything out. There's no wrong answers here. It can be related to work or it can be really related to lifestyle stuff. Let's do a minute. We'll do a minute. We'll do another 30 seconds. And 10 more seconds. Okay. Jot down your last couple of thoughts there. Would it be helpful to raise your hand if that was enough time versus raise your hand if you would like 30 more seconds? Good? Okay, cool. All right, so the next prompt is what tasks, activities, things are you doing day to day or throughout your week that have you feeling exhausted, meh, panicked, anxious, keep it at that. Exhausted, meh, panicked, or anxious. And we'll do a minute for that one too. Three more seconds. Maybe to tack on to that, is there anything that zaps you of energy or just flatlines you pretty consistently when you're like, oh God, this thing? We'll do 10 more seconds. Okay, cool. Finish your thought there. All right, and then the third one is what do you find yourself doing that takes way too much time? Like you find yourself in the midst of doing it, and pretty whenever you're doing it, you're like, oh my God, this takes so much time every day. Or it just feels like it takes more time than you would like it to, or it takes more time than it should. Go ahead, we'll take a minute for that. And this is our last one in terms of what's not working. I promise we'll come up on a high note on the other end of this too. All right, 30 more seconds. Okay. So let's do a quick share around what came up around those questions, and then we're going to pendulum swing over to the other side, and then we're going to talk about some cool tools and info and ways to dial things in a little bit better. So, all right, volunteer, who would be willing to share around the first question of being bottlenecked, overwhelmed, plate too full? Ren, awesome.
Okay, so doing my email campaigns, which I've only just started in the last 2 or 3 weeks, Facebook posts, somehow I have a bunch to be scheduled written out, but for some reason I keep forgetting to actually post them in the scheduler until like 2 days before. So yeah, promotions, basically creating ads, ad copy, stuff like that. Anything Zazzle related, because I'm kind of experimenting with that too, because there's stuff that they have that I can't get anywhere else. So I'm setting up a Zazzle store. I hate it. It's horrible. I mean, it's not horrible, but it's horrible. I hate it, but I don't hate it, you know? I trying to streamline my damn store. Collections of things versus like random shit because I thought it was cool. God damn it, what was I thinking? I swear ADHD or something. And putting together like paint kit orders, which is probably the main reason I've resisted putting up a new paint kit option this month so far, which I want to do. I've just resisted it, and I think that's why, because it's a huge time suck.
Right. That'll cause resistance. All right, that'll trigger it.
A little bit. And it's hot in the studio, so that doesn't help.
Totally. Awesome. Thanks for that share. Let's see. Who'd be willing to share around what makes you exhausted or meh or panicked or anxious or just Kim?
What made me anxious before I was doing a little bit of nothing was talking to people who I felt were above me about coaching them. It literally, like, my stomach was balling up, you know, before I called. And then once I was on the call, it was fine. But, like, waiting to do it and, like, texting or emailing them to find out, you know, like, to contact them was, you know, just anticipating their response was kind of wigging me out. Like, yeah, I was really nervous about that. And I could feel it, like, you know.
Thank you for sharing that. Who can relate to that? Like the anticipation before connecting with a lead or, yeah, totally. Oh my God, Kim. I used to pace around my room all the time. Like, yeah, right. Totally. Like, what am I doing? I can't do this. I'm not good enough. Ah, da, da, da.
I was texting? I was emailing one of the principals, a couple of them, and I threw my phone across on the other couch. I was like, I'm not going to check it for an hour.
Oh. All right. It's good to identify that trigger, though. And that's really, really understandable. Yeah. Okay. Ooh, I really want to dig into that with you, but not right now. I want to circle back around at some point to that. Let's see. And Ash, I would love for you to share actually your response to any of these three, whichever one felt more most like, oh, like getting it out.
All of them. Probably for the first one. I just am feeling overwhelmed. I feel like I have a bajillion things that I need to get set up and organized, and I really want to work on, like I was talking about earlier, like my website and get that up and like going. And then there's other stuff like just the organization and the back end setup of even some of the stuff like the Google Drives and Google Docs and folders and all of that, and trying to keep that organized because I'm trying to, you know, have, you know, the LFP stuff in there, but also like for my different clients and my own like coaching tools that I want to, you know, be able to refer to. And I don't know. I just feel like that stuff takes up way too much time. And I haven't had a chance to like really organize it. So I do feel like a lot of times it's just kind of like doing what I can in the moment when I have to. But I would so appreciate having something like a system set up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, yeah, I don't feel like I've have enough time for doing some of the more like social media, putting myself out there a little bit more. One, I feel like it always takes longer than it should, and then also I just haven't had time to really do that lately.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. So that was kind of like a three-tiered or like three-layered cake there, where it's like there's all these things like that need to be done, and lists within lists of like Google Drive, social media. Just the overwhelming feeling of that and getting organized, but then having the time to get organized so that you can have time, right? That's the, the catch 22.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for sharing that. Yep. All right. So now let's swing the pendulum a little bit to the other side of this. We're going to talk about what does work, what is working, and what does feel good and is in flow and in zone of genius land for us. So, first question with that is, what things, activities, actions do you find yourself really enjoying doing? And perhaps maybe even feel in flow when you're doing them, or lose track of time, but in a good way. You seem to maneuver and kind of move through whatever the thing is really fluidly, and it sparks joy. We'll do a minute for that one. Thirty more seconds. 10 more seconds. All right. Jot down your final thoughts with that one. All right. So the second question for this one is, what do you do well, or you're learning to do that you're gaining proficiency at that you really enjoy doing. So kind of drilling down into that first question a little bit more. What specifically are you doing when you're feeling good, you're feeling energized, you're feeling engaged, maybe even like challenged, but in a good way? Any more seconds? Ten more seconds. All right. Okay, number three, and this is a really fun one. Let it all pour out with this one. So, in your perfect world, in your perfect day, work day, entrepreneurial work day, what would you be doing? What would you be focusing on? Where would your energy be? Maybe even how much time would you be doing the things that you're doing. But if you could just, like, wake up in the morning and be like, oh, yes, my perfect work day is ahead of me, what would that look like? We'll take a minute for that one. Go ahead and include how you'd be feeling too, like the beginning of your day, maybe at the end of your day. We'll do 20 more seconds. Okay, go ahead and finish your thoughts there. Okay. All right, who would like to share their, we'll just do for any of the three here, so. What brings you joy? What brings you energy? What has you feeling engaged? Actually, we'll save the perfect day one for, that'll be separate. So let's do the first two. Who would like to share their response to the first one and or two questions?
I really want to do the second one.
What was that, Kim?
I said I really want to do the second one, so I'll wait.
Go for it. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, okay. I was going to, okay. What do I do well, or am I learning to do well? Taking notes and being present at the same time. So, like, typing and really hearing what they're saying and not feeling like I have to type, pay attention, and come up with a solution. Like, I tried something a couple with, like, I think three people, and it was to type and listen and then
at the end or when I'm doing the notes to really kind of tune in and kind of feel what they were feeling in the moment and seeing what I have to offer. And if I don't have anything, then it's going to take a little while before they get their stuff. But I'm at least giving myself, like, the pressure is off, and I feel like I can, you know, like I'm able to put the solution part aside until, you know, and really listen. And not that I don't ever say anything during it, but I just feel more present, you know. I don't feel distracted by, okay, what do I have for that? You know, like I can feel into that later.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's really nice. That's a big shift.
Yeah, because I was nervous. And not that I don't get nervous anymore. It's just I know that I've tried it a couple of times, and it seems like what I'm doing now, it just feels like, okay, you know, like you can do it after. Like the solution doesn't have stuff while they're getting notes and everything else.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, it feels like you're instead of juggling three things, you're juggling two things, which is manageable and allows you to be present.
Yeah.
Great.
And the notes are extremely helpful to be typing because when I have to go back, it's still like, okay.
Yeah, it's a nice reflection point. Track. Yeah, great. And remember, as a coach, you don't have to have the solution. You're not necessarily supposed to have the solution. So give yourself permission to, like, let off any pressure with that, too. I know it's great to have resources, and I've really led with that kind of a model, but by no means do you have to. And you can, you know, yeah. So I just wanted to remind you of that. Reminder, yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Let's see, Ashley and or Ren, how about you two with what brings you energy or flow, or what do you do well?
Okay. So I wrote down actually like doing the actual coaching calls. That's been bringing me a lot of energy and joy, as well as even in the last, I don't know, in the last couple of weeks, I just started working with this one woman, and it's nice to be able to be a resource for her. And we do our check-ins weekly, and she's already, I just remembered too, she texted me earlier about a resource that the Untethered Soul that I recommended to her. She's like, oh my God, it's so good. So it's like, and there's other stuff that I've been going back and forth with her, because she asked me about, you know, how did you start putting yourself first and doing like focusing more on self-care and stuff like that. And so just being able to go back and forth with her on that stuff and being able to help her has been awesome. So actually getting into the coaching stuff, and because I've done so many consult calls, I actually don't mind them anymore. So I feel like I've gotten that done. So thanks, COVID, for that. but yeah, so I feel like, yeah, I've gotten in the flow, especially with some of the coaching stuff. Writing, I also feel in the flow, whether it's journaling or actual, like, writing that, like, for social media or website or what, like, even though I still need to do, but just writing in general. And then, yeah, what else? Oh, and just, yeah, the building relationship parts and being on the phone with people, I think, has always been a good, like, just being that someone, being able to be present for somebody and, you know, just kind of be that ear for them. And, yeah, the connection there has been, that energizes me and lights me up. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yay. I'm so happy that you're in it. You're coaching your clients. Yay.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yay. And that's a really, obviously, but I'm going to say it for the sake of saying it, it's a really good sign that you're feeling energized by that as opposed to the opposite, like drained or stressed or, you know, which of course there's a little bit of that stress in there, you know.
Yeah, there's always going to be a little bit of that, but yeah, I don't know. I've gotten very comfortable, and I like hearing hearing, or I like the coaching part of it, but I also like hearing from my clients and being like, all right, well, let's figure this out. And I don't, similar to what like Kim was saying around, like, I feel like I have taken off some of that pressure to, I don't know, always have it right or buttoned up or whatever. So that's been helpful too.
Sweet.
Help with like the flow thing.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, that vulnerability of like, we'll see what happens. I'll right. do my best.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Yay. Cool. All right. So perfect day. I am excited to hear your shares with this one, ladies. So perfect day. Wake up in the morning. You're like, yes, my work day looks amazing. So tell me what that looks like. Show whoever wants to go first. Just throw your hand up. Go for it. Ren, go for it.
Okay. I've actually had a couple of these over the last couple of months. So
good.
I feel like I'm cheating. I'm not, but I feel like I am.
That's great. Like
the perfect day is like, what's a nice, just pretend it's like a nice sunny summer day. It's not too hot, not too cold, whatever. And I get up in the morning, take the dog out, feed the critters, you know, do all the morning ritual stuff, which I get half-assed out of order most of the time. get ready for the day. And then, okay, like lately, well, except for this week, because it's just been too stinking hot. I've been going out onto our mudroom, and I just set up camp out there. Because we've got this nice table out there, and you got all the windows and everything. I set up camp out there, and I can start, like, sketching, continuing on another drawing, working in Illustrator to take the sketches to finished pieces, just work on designs for, like, half the day or whatever, and then start bringing them into templates for the print-on-demand vendors. And maybe like at some point I'll probably hop onto Facebook and engage with the fans, and maybe stay on there a little too long and realize, oh, look, it's time for lunch. maybe I'll do a Facebook Live like I did today, because I had a couple more sample orders come in. So I did a live stream for that. You know, realistically, after about lunchtime, I'm pretty much done for several hours. So y'all may take a break, go play video games or something, watch a movie or something, go meet. Usually if I go to the store, it's in the morning, but I'm thinking about switching that to evening instead so I can get more done in the studio during the day. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But if I don't have to go to the store that day, then like around like 4 or 5 in the evening, afternoon or whatever, I'll start working on stuff again. Maybe it'll be Facebook posts, researching print vendors, you know, whatever. I've been trying, but I haven't quite figured out the order of things yet. So it's like whatever needs to get done. And then you know, I pretty much end the day and, you know, play with the dog, play with the critters, maybe visit a close friend. That's pretty much it. And if it's the end of the week, maybe have a festive adult beverage along with it.
Nice. Oh my God, that sounds so slow. Like, that's the word that comes up in listening to you. It's like,
yeah.
And I love that afternoon break that you're talking about.
This is a huge break, and I don't even realize I'm doing it. So it's like I'll work on stuff for about 4 hours in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and I may end up losing about an hour to social media, but half of that is like actually like engaging and working and posting and stuff too. And then yeah, I take this huge break because like Zach's usually up like around, he gets out of bed like around anywhere between 12 and 1-ish usually.
Oh.
And then he goes to work, you know, like around 3 or 4, and I'm like, all right, I'm not distracted anymore.
Right? Nice. All right. Productive and leisurely and well-paced.
Yeah. 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 See, that's just perfection right there.
Love that. And a summer day too. It's a nice.
Yeah. And then sometimes, if it's really hot out, like it has been recently, I can take a dip in the pool, which is really awesome.
Wow. Just throw a pool into it. No big deal. That's awesome. Nice. Beautiful. Love it. How about, let's see who wants to go next. Perfect day. Ash, you have to hop off, right, in 5?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's hear about it.
I think, and something that I try to do now, but, I do now, but just waking up semi-early, by 7, but between 6 and 7, because I feel like I get a good productive day in there, and spending about, I don't know, at least probably like 30 to 45 minutes, sometimes longer if I do, but doing my morning practice, I mean, that's been so key, and it's like, it's become a non, unless something urgent's going on, it's become a non-negotiable for me, so in the morning, and that really helps me set my day, and then I think, yeah, in the next, like, hour or so, I would really like to do, like, you know, whatever is the next, like, coaching thing I need to be looking at in terms of my own professional development, spending, like, actually, I kind of did it this morning with the three principles stuff, like, spend, like, an hour just kind of going through learning about, you know, something from a professional development or coaching perspective, and then the rest of the day would be, like, I really like the leisurely, productive and leisurely words that were used to describe Rin's day, but maybe have a couple of client calls, then take a break at lunch and get a workout in, and then have some afternoon creative time where I'm, like, thinking through, like, different things that I could be doing, or the next awesome program that's going to change the world, or, you know, whatever. You know, just have some creative, like, stillness, but also, you know, just time to sit and think through, like, whatever else needs to be done. And then, yeah, maybe some follow-up with my clients, and then in the evening, dinner and spending some time with Mike, and then maybe, like, hop back on in the computer to wrap up anything else from the day that needed to wrap up, but, yeah. Just productive and leisurely at my own pace is in control and balanced, relaxed and energized are the words that, like, I had wrote down. But yeah, just a little bit of client stuff and professional development, and then, yeah, creative brainstorming and figuring out all the rest. Like, having that time to actually do all of that would be lovely.
Right. Hey, thanks for sharing. So I know you have to hop off, but after Kim shares her perfect day, then I'm going to hop into a workbook that I made for you ladies with some helpful things to facilitate your identification of what are you taking on that you don't need to be taking on. How can you systematize or source support for that? And things like that. So we'll get into the practical nuts and bolts. So I'll send that over to you, of course, Ash, and then you and I can go over it together, or you can, and or you can listen to the tail end of the recording from tonight and get that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Yep. I'm also considering having, like, an LFP-wide organizational / like vision development day, like on a weekend day, just be on Zoom for 6 hours and, like, whoever wants to show up and, like, collab or get their shit together with me. So we'll see. Might be coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. It'll force me to, like, do it and just be like, all the questions that I have for you that come up and I forget to ask you when we're on the phone.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Kim, tell us about your perfect day.
Okay, I don't want to get up early. Like, I think I want 8 o'clock.
I love you.
To be my time. Yeah. I just really think so. And I want to make a smoothie. And I want to meditate and maybe a little bit of movement. And then I want to do yoga, teach yoga somewhere, like in my own studio or on the beach if I'm traveling somewhere. I'd like to teach a class.
And so, yeah, so if I'm at home, I want a studio, and I want it with offices in it. If I'm traveling, then I'll, of course, go to somebody else's, but I would really like to do it outdoors. And possibly video it. I don't know how I want to do that. Like, if it's something I would share online or, you know, something like that. So then I would want to be working with a team of women, whether, and it would be just about wellness, whether it's the spiritual side or the soul side, I guess, the physical side with yoga and my It Works thing, or if it's with coaching. So I know I just want to have a group of people that are supportive in each of those spaces, so that I don't have to run every single thing. Because I would love to build something to the point where then I can do the fun stuff still, because I want to be in touch with people. So I never want to lose that. And then after I have a meeting or whatever and everybody does their respective things, then I would like to coach at least two people in that day. And then I just want to read and chill and drink a beverage at the end.
Love it.
So, yeah, that would be my person.
Nice. I love how you wove community and support into that. That's really nice. Like, starting your day off with yourself and then leadership and then support and then kind of doing your own thing and then closing. Like, that flow is just feels really balanced. Yeah, awesome. I have to be honest, when you were sharing teaching a yoga class, I pictured you as this retreat center that I'm somehow going to manifest in the next couple of years, and you're teaching us yoga in the morning. I'm like, totally, Kim's going to be our on-site yoga teacher.
I'm going to be there. No, it is what I want to do. So as I'm thinking of all this, I'm thinking, whoa, what would it take to get there?
Beautiful. Yes, that's okay. Thank you. That's a perfect segue. So that's the point of this exercise, is to check in with our ideal day, because the more we grow our businesses and learn about our businesses and what's required of us and, like, all the things, it's important to continue to, like, make sure that what we thought was our North Star with our business is still our North Star, but it's probably not going to be. It's probably going to be have shifted a bit. Because we learn new things, we realize new things, we realize, you know, maybe creative time is an important aspect, or having a team or having a support squad, or, you know, whatever the things are. So when I was building my business, I've probably told you guys this a lot, but the first 3 years, I was kind of a weirdo. I was obsessed with checking in with my ideal day and my affirmations. And I was doing Vishen Lakhiani's 6-phase meditation every single morning for 4 months over a summer, and then I was doing it a lot, like, after that too. I was really, really into the visioning stuff, and I can't tell you how much I think it really did help me to get to where I am and to get clear about what is in highest alignment for myself and my business and my impact. So I encourage that intentional visioning as much as possible, so that we don't get, like, it's so easy to get lost in the minutiae. It's so easy to get lost in the grind and just kind of forget, like, not necessarily forget why we're doing all of this, but forget, like, oh, whoa, like, North Star is way over there and I'm way over here at 6 o'clock. Like, I need to turn back over there. So, yeah, love that. And, you know, in the visioning, we want it to spark the sense of excitement and the sense of, like, how the F am I going to make that happen? Like, oh, all the things that I need to do to get there. I love what you just said, Kim, and that's where we're aiming for. Like, we want our dreams to be uncomfortably, unknowably stretchy, and that's where we get to create the magic in between. So, oh, you have to hop off. Okay. Thanks for being with us, Ash. Have a great rest of your night.
Yeah, you guys cool. too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. So that exercise, both part of it, both pieces of that exercise are to kind of paint the picture of where we're at now, what's working, what we enjoy about our system situations, and what's not working, and then where we want to be. Because when we start with the end in mind, and this is kind of in so many personal development and success and business building books, but when we start with the vision in mind, the end in mind, even if that does shift and kind of move, when we're constantly checking in with that, it can become a frame and a lens through which we can gauge what we need to be doing now to position ourselves to get there more efficiently or effectively. So one of the things that, looking back, I could have done a lot earlier, a lot of things, but that's the wonderful thing about 2020 hindsight in life. It's like we learn as we go. But I could have hired a virtual assistant way earlier than I did, and it would have behooved me to do so in pretty major ways. I've had a personal assistant now for 2.5 years. It's been a game changer. And so had I really realized that, I had friends tell me that, but I just, for some reason, was like, I got this, I can do it all, you know, like I'm like bootstrapping, you know, trying to invest everything into my marketing and stuff. So at any rate, in realizing, okay, my vision is over here and this is where I'm at, what systems and or support can I start putting into place now or planning to put in place so that I can accelerate my trajectory toward my vision and make it a lot more fluid and a lot more efficient and save me a hell of a lot of time and energy and probably money in the long run, right? So keeping these things in perspective. It's kind of like, you know, with any vision or goal, just like with getting fit or losing weight or being good at something, we get to assess, is what I'm doing now supporting or inhibiting me from progressing toward my goal? So eating too much pie? Probably not. Circle back to the whole pie issue. I bring it up a lot because I was not a sugar addict, and now apparently I am, and I'm like, okay, anyhow, let's check out some resources. All right, so sourcing support and creating systems, there's variables involved that are helpful to tune in with. So I've split this workbook into, this is a much like more compact workbook than the other ones also. So I split it into considerations. So these are things that we get to consider when we're like, okay, how can I create systems or source support? These are some approaches, different ways that you can do this. And they're certainly not limited to these, but these are the more common ones that I've seen and I'm familiar with. And then these are some things to assess. That will help you get clearer about where you need to, as soon as possible, start creating some systems and getting support. And then I talk a little bit about what to systematize and how to create systems, and then I have some recommended tools down here. So I'm going to cruise through this in a kind of educational way. I'm seeing that we have about 22 minutes left, so I'll be kind of streamlined about it because I definitely want to open it up for discussion at the end of the call as well. You guys see my screen okay? Yeah, okay, cool. All right, so how to leverage while staying lean, right? So in early stage enterprise, unless we have some kind of capital to work with, which is also an option, we can go source capital from myriad different avenues. It's a different conversation, but it is a possibility. But let's say that we're bootstrapping, right? We're trying to be as lean as possible, fiscally, at least. So our considerations are going to be our budget. How much can we set aside or allocate for support or systemization? So budget would be, and I do recommend that, like, the more we can set aside to invest in smart business systems and smart business support, the more we can set aside for that. And even if it means we sacrifice going out as much or buying things that we really, you know, want, however we can shift our budget and invest in our business, it will oftentimes pay us back fivefold, right? Or I don't know the actual number, but it's well worth the sacrifice, especially in the like long term. And I'm not saying, you know, live on rice and don't ever do anything fun, but if we can create a bucket for business allocation that used to be our fun play, hobby, travel allocation, and that bucket can grow by maybe a couple $100 a month or whatever, and we can invest that in a VA or we can invest that in some of the systems we'll be talking about, it's so worth it. And then we can take a pause 6 months, you know, 12 months down the road, ask ourselves, like, is this working? Am I feeling deprived? Am I living this, like, deprived lifestyle, or am I doing okay? And, like, it's nice to have support. So considering your budget, considering your time budget, if need be or if helpful, go ahead and revisit. I think it's an element one or two, the time and energy audit. So kind of like what we did tonight, right? Like what sucks your energy, what flatlines you, and then conversely, what brings you energy. And you'll want to take that into consideration in a few different ways, but kind of generally speaking, checking in with ourselves about on our day-to-day, how tapped are we feeling? What's the ratio of energized to tapped out to overwhelmed, you know, like how are we doing? And really tracking that almost like a weather system where, you know, are we having like a nice sunny day or are we like in the middle of a shitstorm most of the time? Like, how are we doing? We want to consider what are our domains of expertise. So this is going to be a theme for one of the calls in the future, probably next month. And I think I'm going to have a guest. And it's going to be a guy. He's allowed in the girls club because he's an expert. but domain of expertise and zone of genius. So this is to say, becoming clear and getting clearer on what are we good at? What do we enjoy doing? What's in our bag of flow state activities? And what is not? Because the things that are not are things that we can probably delegate. We can probably systematize or get some support around. And all of the literature that I've come across so far says to get that, like delegate that stuff as soon as possible. And not necessarily even delegate, but create support systems and systems for that as soon as possible. We want to be in our zone of genius as entrepreneurs, as artists, as creatives, as service providers, and people who want to be doing what we love, right, and having those, like, ideal days, the less of the other stuff we can do, the better, I think she's agreed. So get clear on that. Create a list of what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy, what you're good at, what you're not good at. Like, just that simple activity can be profound because it will really help clarify where you might be able to do less of the not so great stuff and more of the great stuff. So this is a concept. Visionary integrator is something that I came across in a book that was recommended by Rich Litvin. And I'm gonna skip the name right now. It's somewhere in my brain. I'll find it in a few minutes if it doesn't come to mind. Anyways, it's a book about systematizing and leveraging our businesses and ourselves as founders. And the author has this concept that is now used all over the world in companies of all sizes. And the concept is around visionary versus integrator. Visionary is, are we the idea maker? Are we the one that's like creating and wanting to be, you know, having these visions and ideas and dreams and goals, or are we really good at creating the how of how things work in our business, right? The integration of things like the client outreach, maybe the email campaigns, that kind of stuff is like the practical nuts and bolts stuff, task-oriented stuff. And some people are really, really great at that. And some people, conversely, are better at, or they're more attuned to being visionaries. So the philosophy and theory behind that is that and there's a test in the book too. I will post the book. I'll put it in this workbook. There's like a checklist. And if we can, some people know right away which one they are. Some people are like, oh no. But when we know which we are, then when we devote our energy and we build our team in a way where if I'm a visionary, which I very much am, then I need to create more integrators in my business because even though I've created like the systems for my business, I would rather not. I would rather somebody else be doing this, right? So then I can, then I'm like, oh, I'm the visionary. I can hire integrators. Or if I was the integrator, then I would be like, I need people to come with ideas so that I can create those ideas for my business, for my company. We also want to take into consideration our projects. So what projects do we have going on right now? Do we have one project? Do we have 15 projects? Do we have, you know, and what are the scope of these projects? So that one's really helpful to just see what's on the table and know if we have, like, is this even viable, right? If we have 15 things on the table, which admittedly I often do, then we need to take stock of that. And then what are our objectives? So taking into consideration, what are our targets and our visions? Do we have targets and visions that are deadline-based? Do we have, like, okay, I need to sign, or I have this goal for this quarter, or I need to wrap this project and submit this by September 1st, or things like that. So knowing which projects we have, and also knowing, as for our business or our clients or our systems, which targets and visions we have will also help inform the systems and support that we may need and when. That kind of goes with that, timelines and deadlines. And then our growth strategy. So it's going to look a lot different if we're totally content and aiming to be a company of one and like a badass solopreneur with like some good support around us, but we may not necessarily want to grow to like enterprise level or, you know, create a scalable company that we then, you know, have an exit strategy for and go multinational or whatever. Like, it's, so things are going to look a lot different, and the support and the systems that we create now are going to be very informed by how big do we want to grow. That's something that I'm navigating and kind of grappling with right now, because there's a lot of opportunity around me right now to up level and work with some incredible mentors and teams, but I get to check in with myself and say like, whoa, hold on here. Like, I don't know. And then partnerships and collaborators. So are we doing this totally solo bolo, or are we potentially going to be collaborating with somebody else, other people? Is there somebody that we might be interested in bringing on as like either an actual partner or somebody whose maybe company overlaps with ours? So that will inform our systems and support as well, because if we're by ourselves versus if we have somebody else or multiple people as part of the company, that's going to make a big difference. Okay, so those are the considerations. High-level approaches. So what I mean by this is like how I've seen people, entrepreneurs and company founders navigate this, and what I've seen in terms of what they've created for their systems and their support. Again, this is not an exhaustive list. This is by no means like the only list at all. These are just some of the more common things that I've seen. So the solopreneur bootstrapper tends to do most things most of the time until they hit some kind of a tipping point determined by God knows what, where they actually start to gain the momentum or traction to bring on support, help, or systems. Then there's like the lean support team. So this is not necessarily hiring employees formally, but contracting support via freelancers or contractors or people who specialize in certain areas. So that's only like 1099, if depending on how we set things up. But that might be a virtual assistant, an accountant, content manager, like a copywriter, copy editor, anybody to like organize specific systems that we just don't want to deal with, like technologies and stuff like that. And then there's like the 4-hour work week, the Tim Ferriss approach, which is, I love how debated this is in the business building space. Like some people are like, yeah, like I'm going to outsource everything. I don't want to have hands-on with anything. I just want to travel the world and like work on a beach. And then there are other like entrepreneurs or founders who are like, that's ridiculous. Like that's very very whimsical and isn't really a sustainable growth model for a business. So at any rate, the book is worth reading if you haven't read it already. It's really inspiring, and it also does provide a lot of perspective, exposure, and information about what's possible in terms of how much can be delegated, which I think is a valuable thing to know now. So, partnerships and founding teams. So some people bring in actual partners or create an actual founding team, which can be enormously helpful. This is related to that. So this is a philosophy that I'm really learning a lot about these days. From Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy. But Dan Sullivan, he's just this idea machine. And one of his great ideas is this who, not how concept, which differs from just hiring or contracting support or like outsourcing or delegating. It differs in a very significant way. And that is that we are teaming up with or partnering up with people who are their zone of genius is the zone of genius that our business needs, and they love what they do, and we love what we do, and so there's like a synthesis that happens there. So for me right now, my web developer loves what he does, brilliant at it, also happens to be my best friend, but it's perfect, because like, I was about to start building my site, because like, I want to learn everything, and he's like, no, let me do this, and so it's like a perfect situation where now I have insourced, as Dan Sullivan calls it, as opposed to outsourcing. I've insourced somebody who can be on my team, so to speak, but isn't necessarily like part of my business model. Alternatively, we can hire on an agency or a team. We can, you know, if we have the funds or if we have the connections or the means, then we can certainly hire, as Ren, I'm sure you're well familiar with, having been on teams and freelancing and doing temp work and stuff and regular work. So agencies and teams are great, and that's usually when we scale a little bit larger. So digital marketing teams, content creation, you know, funnel building, all of that kind of stuff. Like, if we can, let's bring in teams to do that because it's a lot. All right. So is this making sense so far? I'm kind of cruising through quickly. Okay. All right, so to assess. So this is the personal come-to-Jesus conversation we get to have with ourselves, right? So how efficient are my systems? Like, how efficient, effective am I operating as a solopreneur, as an entrepreneur? So tracking our time, right? Okay, I set out to work on emails for an hour. Let's see how long it's actually taking me, right? Let's take a look at how much time we have in our workday, divide that up into things we need to do. Does it make sense? Is it realistic? Is it something that we can humanly do sustainably? Taking a look at the 80-20 rule, which is essentially the Pareto principle, which is which 20% of my activities and actions are yielding me the 80% of the results that I'm getting in return. So that might be we want to focus on our top 20% of clientele versus all 100% of our clientele, because the top 20% are really the ones that are our super fans or our, you know, are the ones who keep coming back again and again. 80-20 also can look like our projects. So which 20% of our projects are yielding us 80% of the desired results? I found when I was first starting out and knew nothing about anything, I was like posting Facebook ads that I would run for like $10 a day and nothing was happening. And I was like, why isn't this working? I was having a total like meltdown. And I just quit Facebook ads because I was like, this doesn't work. This is a scam. Don't do that, by the way. But I was taking a look at how much time I was investing in trying to learn Facebook ads, like trying to figure out the copy, trying to figure out the like split testing and like all the stuff. And it was just so much. And I was like, okay, so I'm spending hours on this and not really seeing any turnaround from it. like my conversions were not happening. Again, total user error as well, so don't replicate this. But then I realized, like, okay, well, Thumbtack is working really well, right? Like, Thumbtack and Yelp were pretty consistently building momentum for me in meaningful ways. So I just scrapped the whole Facebook thing and went the other way. So taking a look at, you know, how am I spending my energy every day? What 20% of that is actually making a difference? Assess our fluidity in batching. So by that, I mean, are we batching well? Like, are we doing this, all the things that are alike in batches and containers? Or are we kind of disparate and, like, all over the place? Are we checking email 20 times a day, guilty as charged, trying to clean that up? are we, like, starting on a project and then hopping on a call and then having lunch and then doing the project again and then getting distracted from, you know, so how efficient are we being with our actual workflow? Something that I would like everybody to do is a really simple exercise that I can't take full credit for. It's an adaptation of the lifestyle gardening from LSP, but Rich Litvin has, like, a more efficient way of doing this, really. So you have a piece of paper. You have three columns. One is hell yes, one is maybe, one is hell no. And you write down all the things you do every day, and you put them into whichever column they belong in. And you sort through them, and then kind of stand back and take a look and ask yourself, all right, so it's pretty clear now, like, the hell no's are probably the first to go, or first to be delegated, right, or systematized. And then the maybes, his perspective is that a maybe is a hell, if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. But I think there's some gray area there. So the maybes are like, yeah, sometimes I do enjoy doing this thing, but I still don't enjoy doing it 4 hours a day every day, right? So the maybes are, I think that they can be kind of sorted accordingly, but it's a really helpful, super helpful exercise, actually. And then what is not an absolute must? This is it's more of an exercise for the sake of what comes out of it. You don't have to do anything with it, but I find it helpful for myself. I do this monthly now, at least, where I'm like, what am I doing? My poor journal. It's like, you're writing the same thing every year. I'm like, what do I absolutely not need to do, right? And what do I absolutely need to do? And I get really clear about that, and I'm getting better at shifting things around. But that's really helpful also, like, the things we convince ourselves of that we have to do, they're actually, like, not as much. So that's the final sentence here. Question assumptions about what has to get done and what has to be done this way. Like, what can I let go of that someone else can do, right? My VA or whoever. All right. Almost at the hour here, so I'll kind of cruise through this and let you implement this on your own, ladies. The goal here is to use the time that we have to the greatest possible advantage, right? We want to be doing what we love. We want to be doing what we're good at. We want to be doing what brings us joy and what helps our company and our profits and everything grow and expand. So systems are a great way to make that happen. So a system addresses a specific problem and it's automatic. I really like this part of it, right? It's automatic. So they help us to avoid problems, right? If we have systems for things, then there's the margin for error is reduced as long as our systems are set up well. Of course, it saves time and productivity. And then it also allows for us to, like, step away from aspects of our business. So, for example, I created a system for myself for onboarding new clients, and now I can hand that over to my assistant or a new assistant and say, this is exactly how this system works. I'll let you know that I've, you know, a new client has signed up, and then they can do the rest. It's all, like, already set up for them, or they set it up, you know, for themselves. So that's a really great thing, is we can just be like, here, do the thing. So what to systematize? Anything that happens regularly, invoicing, emails, etc. Anything that takes a lot of time. And I think this one, again, going up to, like, what we're assessing, right? So how's our time management? Anything taking a lot of time, copywriting, editing, tax preparation, et cetera. It could even be like getting set up for our work day, right? Like if we don't have a system that allows for us to just like sit in and go, if we need to do all these other things and like clean our desk and like, I don't know, all this stuff. So having systems to help us like land in the pilot seat is also really important. Issues that frustrate us, definitely. Oh my God. Yeah, this is an ongoing project for me. There are a couple things that when I'm doing them, I really want to pull my hair out. I'm like, why am I still doing this? Don't know. Stop it, Fawn. So working on that. But that's a sign, right? That's a flag of like, hey, maybe a system or a support could be a good thing here. And then anything that's outside of your zone of genius or your core competency, again, like, consider, how could I hand this off, or how could I delegate this, or who could I delegate it to, et cetera. So identify the issue, create a process, or find someone to help you create a process, and then implement it, and actually implement it. Like, it's one thing to have a Trello board that's all set up and super sexy and, like, makes sense. It's another thing to be like, here, virtual assistant, please do this, or please set it up, right? Again, like, I think the biggest Achilles heel, the biggest hindrance for entrepreneurs, I know personally, and I've read everywhere, is that we convince ourselves that we need to be doing way more than we actually need to be doing. So actually implementing the system, I think, is half the battle, or allowing somebody to implement it. Cool. And then recommended technology and tools. These are just, these were kind of like off the top of my head, things that I've used that have been enormously helpful. Trello is a godsend. Oh my God, project management-wise, it's so great. But Airtable is another one that is more robust and complex, but for anybody who needs to have Trello on steroids or a robust database, I recommend looking into Airtable. Fiverr's great for finding freelancers. I just last year learned about hiremymom.com, so it supports moms who are stay-at-home moms with kiddos or who have another job and do freelance work, and they're highly rated, like really great support and a total broad array of rates. Creative Market is awesome for all things aesthetic design, graphic design, etc. Envato is awesome for that as well. And then Focus Timer, you ladies probably already know, but that's the timer that is the Pomodoro technique that goes off every 25 minutes. And then there was another app that I recently downloaded, I can't say, Task Tracker or something like that, because I've been attempting to really track how long it's taking me to do stuff. So I'm working toward that. I just downloaded it a couple weeks ago, so I can put that in here too. But yeah, so tools, systems, support make life a lot easier. And I am preaching to myself right now as well, sharing this stuff with you ladies. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen here. I know we're at time, so if you need to hop off, totally understand that I'm open to helping you ladies or brainstorming with you how to implement any of this, or maybe where to start with it, or questions you have about anything. And I'll just like open it up since it's just the three of us. Questions, also questions. Questions about anything that I covered? Kim?
There were two things. One I can't remember, because I know it's on the paper, but when you were talking, I started thinking about, I'm trying to think, is it that one? Zone of Genius. Oh, it's this one, I think. Maybe not. Scroll one more page, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. This one, it is this one. So the one thing, when you are researching, time-wise, like, and I know it depends on what, but it's easy to go down a rabbit hole with that. So what do you say, okay, I'm going to research this topic, Or do you say, I'm going to research or maybe read this book for something? Do you try to get it as specific as you can, or do you just let it flow and go down the rabbit hole for a certain amount of time? So do you limit the content or do you limit the time?
Ooh, Kim. You pick the one thing that I have zero self-control with.
Because I'm like, every time I put research, like I'll have a list of the things I want to do, but it's like, okay, they'll say something. I don't know what that means. So I'll go on and then it's like, oh, okay. So, you know, I'm probably far off the book by the time my time is up or whatever. And I'm tired, but I mean, it was interesting at the time.
Can you give me, so let's zoom out a bit here. So what is the objective of the research?
It's been different things. So sometimes it's specifically about coaching sometimes, and maybe a topic that's come up for one of my clients, or sometimes it might be a marketing strategy that I'm researching. You know, it just depends on what's on my thing to do. My yoga stuff, but they kind of laid that out for me, so I kind of have resources that I just have to go to. But like, I found myself with some of the things we've read or some of the things that we've done together, you know, it touches on that. I'll be like, oh, let me find that. So I've done an all inclusive researching thing, but I like it, but sometimes when it's scheduled, it intimidates me because it's like, oh, I know what this is about to, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, this is about to be so, you know, so I'm thinking, do I limit the time? I mean, I have a set time, but I'm just wondering, is the resource, or does it matter? Just let it go. And
So it sounds like there's the research for business development, research for client resources that you maybe came up in session or something that you're wanting to know more about. Mm-hmm.
And then possibly marketing, which is the one thing that I really is going to be on my hell no list, because I have a friend who does it and we've had the conversation of working together and she's offered to do it. And then I fell off. And when you were just talking, I was like, oh, I got a team member. Well, she's more like the zone of genius person, you know. And so I feel like, and she does all the Facebook stuff. She knows MailChimp. Like, she knows all that stuff. And I started doing the principal thing. And then, so then that got lost in that. And then I was back to just coaching, and we were supposed to hop on a Zoom call and we never did it. So maybe that's the answer, is that thing that is too much for me to grasp needs to go to her, and then I can have fun and dedicate more time to the other.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome that you have that realization of like, oh yeah, I have this person that I know that can do this. Totally. Like, it's up to each individual, of course, but my rule of thumb is that I like to know how things work, so I like to know everything I know about business development and funnels and team and all that stuff.
Right.
But I know that it's not my zone of genius to implement all of this.
Right.
Yeah. So, and my example of the website earlier, too, Brian was like, no. Hire me to do your site. I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah.
Connecting all that stuff was like, I mean, I'm glad I learned, like you said, and like the MailChimp stuff, the content stuff that I was putting, I definitely still want to do that. But setting up the automation, I've learned enough. Like,
there you go.
I don't want to do it on steroids or learn like the efficiency of it all. Like I feel like I really, really try. I set up things that were spitting out and that's enough. you know.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go back to researching that. Yeah. Like, I just don't.
Great. Yeah. Perfect example of what the bucket is for. So the more we can put in that bucket, the more we can bring people on to do a couple of hours a week for our MailChimp and our social. I mean, it's not people. There are so many people right now that are specializing in digital marketing, like so many. And it sounds like you have somebody already, but I mean, it's totally feasible financially, more so than ever, to bring someone on a couple hours a week to like take care of that stuff for us. So that's great. Yeah. So that's one thing you can, it'll free up your time so that you can have more time to go down other rabbit holes that you
want. Yeah. Yeah. So my other thing was, when working with a group, just, you know, it can be great, you know, and everybody can be on the same page, and then sometimes not so much. Like, what do you, and I can't really say for my own business, you know, because I don't know. And I know when I work in other people's groups, I think I'm pretty understanding and trying to figure out what it is they want to follow, you know, but I've never been the leader, like the visionary person in trying to explain, you know, what I see. So, I mean, I do have friends around me, but when you have to go outside, what do you recommend? And this is far off for me, but I was curious when you know, I mean, maybe not too far. I'm just saying, you know, it's not something I'm doing tomorrow or this summer. But I'm just wondering, like, how do you pick that person? Is it more than just their skills that you look at? And how do you figure out the more subjective things, you know?
So for building a team or for bringing on which – aspect specifically?
I would probably say for right now, maybe just out like a virtual assistant or something like a person. Maybe if I didn't know that person, what, you know, how would I?
Great. Yeah. Good question. You know who'd be a great person to interview about this is Layla, because she's been a VA for 4 years, I think.
Really?
Yeah, she's done VA work for a long time, in addition to her teaching English as a second language.
Huh. Yeah. Wait, Layla?
Uh-huh.
No way.
Yeah.
Not either.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. She's been a VA for I'm pretty sure 3 or 4 years, and that's kind of what allowed her to have the flexibility to travel, and then she caught on to teaching English abroad, and that, like, really connected with her, but, so maybe I'll ask her if she has, like, a list of the top 10 things to look for in a VA or whatever. Now she's hiring VAs for her company, which is so cute.
Oh, my gosh!
Badass. Yeah.
That is, so I never knew what her and her husband did. I know she said that they were working virtually, but I didn't know that was what they were doing. And I never got a chance to ask her anything. That's cool.
Yeah. She's got a really amazing skill set. And now she's launching her own company for teaching English abroad, which is super exciting.
Dude, that's awesome.
I'm going to say too much about it because I want her to be the one to announce it.
Right.
I think she's going to change the whole, like, teaching English situation in the world. I'm pretty
cool. Well, if I go online and teach, I might have to work for her.
Yeah. So I'll check in with her and see if she has recommendations. But in my experience, having a conversation with the person, first and foremost, you know, like a Zoom call or a call just to get to know their demeanor and their tone and, you know, like their rapport. Usually we can tell right away if something's off.
Mm-hmm.
And then scope of work. So I always ask for their portfolio, their experience, examples of their work. Mm-hmm. And then references for sure. Like, you know, the more references, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be as specific as possible about what I'm looking for so that it makes the fit more likely to happen. But yeah, just like knowing what you're looking for in terms of like your expectations, right? Like, oh, it'd be great if I could hire somebody 2 hours a week to take over my email campaign, my social media posts, and my content management, you know, so that X, Y, or Z, and then they're clear and they can say, oh, that's totally what I do. Here's examples of that. Let me show you. Here are my references, and you can kind of check that. And then it's kind of a trial and error period, not necessarily trial and error, but a trial period for, you know, the first month or so. And you can have that in the contract that it's, you know, such and such amount of hours are, you know, nothing's ever sealed in stone either, unless you contract somebody for a specific amount of time, but
mm-hmm.
Usually you have the right to terminate for whatever reason. So yeah, those would be the things that I would recommend paying attention to when it comes to like outsourcing or having that kind of support.
Okay, cool. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, definitely.
This all is fun right now because like, oh, you know, like it's fitting into my thing, you know, my dreams for later. But you always bring up things like, and I'm like, oh gosh.
Right? You guys got me thinking too. I think I need to look into hiring somebody to post my scheduled posts for me.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, because I've got a bunch of them written, and most of them, well, there's some that I have that aren't quite prepped yet that include images, but it's like I can include notes for that stuff. And I try to be thorough when I make a grocery order, so I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, content managers, like digital marketers, social media managers, I don't want to say they're a dime a dozen these days, but there's definitely an increase in, especially since COVID, I've been seeing like, yeah, there's a lot of people out there doing this kind of stuff. So, you know, definitely, that's great, Ren. I'm excited for you.
I've actually got somebody, one of my Facebook friends, she's a friend of a friend, and she's also a fan of my work, and she's offered to help, but I didn't know what to give her. Honestly, I'm like, yeah, I could use help, but I have no idea how the fuck to delegate any of this yet.
Right.
It's like, I'd love to delegate some to you, but I don't know what to give you.
Yeah, well, that's what all of this is for, right? Getting clear about what drains our energy, what takes up too much time. And
I see a lot of sticky notes in my near future.
Sticky notes are the heartbeat of the universe, Ren. But yeah, anything that you spoke to tonight, ladies, or anything as you go through the workbook and really think about this, like anything, there's somebody out there who is really good at it and probably pretty affordable.
Yeah.
Even start for a few hours a week. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go cook some food before it gets too late.
Yeah, thanks for being with us, Kim. I'm
sending you so much
for your help. And I'll send those resources over, too.
Thank you so much.
I hope they can figure it out for you, Kim.
Me, too. And I'll keep you guys, I'll message you guys and tell you how my things went on Thursday. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd appreciate that. I want to know how you're doing.
Thank you. Love you both.
Love you. Enjoy your dinner.
Thanks, ladies. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Aw. So, Ren, I have 10 minutes if you want to brainstorm the what's coming up for you around the resistance.
Sure.
Cool.
I've got all kinds of ideas of what's coming up. I know part of it is the pandemic, because I am concerned about exposing either me or Zach to any potential illness. But I know that's not the only thing. I think some of it might be just general social anxiety. I mean, it's been like a few months since I've actually had to, not so much like I shouldn't say general social. Well, kind of general social. I mean, I can function socially with other people I don't know. I just don't like to. And I know that's one of those things you have to keep practicing and just keep doing it. And if you once you aren't doing it as much, you kind of backslide a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might be part of it. And oh God, I know I had some other thoughts on that too. I do have some anxiety, I guess, some concerns. I don't want to just leap into like the first available thing, right, like I did last year. That was just a horrible, horrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could have been much worse, but it was just a horrible situation. It's like, and then being on unemployment, I don't want to necessarily disqualify myself accidentally. If I do it on purpose, that's fine. But if it's accidental, that's another story.
Right, and it's a tricky, it's kind of a fine line. There's a lot of factors to consider.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I don't want to jump into the first thing, but at the same time, it's like if an opportunity is made available and an offer is made, you almost have to take it. So, yeah, it's,
Right. Okay. These are very reasonable. Like, we're living in the time of COVID, and there's a lot of risk. There's a lot of concern there. And of course, there's the added element, like, if we're not necessarily wanting to be social as it is, being social during this time in our human history is an exciting prospect. So I totally
It's like not exciting in a positive way necessarily. And I realize that some of that can be somewhat mitigated if you can work, you know, depending on scheduling and stuff. But I guess the biggest concern is I don't want to leap into something and it be the wrong fit, because then I'm stuck.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I know if I'm looking only in my trained field, I know how to disqualify myself from things if I don't like them. If it doesn't look like a good fit, I know how to get them to say no. It's like, oh, you're too expensive. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Do you have a sense of and you don't have to share the actual figures with me or anything, but do you have a sense of what you ideally or minimally would want to be bringing in? Do you have those numbers kind of crunched and sorted?
Yeah, actually. Like we know what he's going to be bringing in and how much he needs, and I don't remember what he said his gap is, but there is a little bit of gap on his end.
Uh-huh.
And I know what I'm bringing in with unemployment, with even without the extra $600 a month. My bills will be taken care of on unemployment, but I don't think I'm going to have, and plus food. Dog food, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm going to have very much left over to fill his gap. So I think I'm going to need at least a couple hundred. A little bit more would be good, just for cushion. We do have some savings, both of us. So, so we do have some cushion. And we'll have a little bit more cushion after his layoff too, because he's getting a severance package, and he was talking about, I hope he doesn't do it right away, but he was talking about cashing out his 401k again and just shoving it in the bank. I'm like, well, that is an option. Let's try not to do that again.
Okay.
We do have some cushion. But yeah, I think ideally I'd like to not touch that cushion. So probably an extra like $200 to $500 a month for the next few months.
A month?
Yeah, I think so.
That's totally totally doable. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I've been trying to look into online working options also.
That's
which everybody else is doing too. So.
Right. Well, here's what I'm thinking, because yes, like online obviously takes care of the first two issues, right? Like you're not right. exposing yourself, you don't have to deal with people. Great.
Yeah. That's always nice.
Yeah, and your skill set certainly lends itself to a lot of, I would think, you know, like a lot of things that are doable online, a lot of task skill projects, etc., that can be done virtually. So
right.
what I'm wondering is, like, let's say in an ideal world, if you were doing some online freelancing, do you have a sense of what kind of work you'd be doing, or like projects you'd be working on, and in what capacity?
You know, I'm not really sure. I know if I were to sign on with if it was like a B2B, like if I was signing on with a company, like if I was working with Greenlee still, or if I was working with my old company Epsilon, I know I was doing a lot of design work and production artist type work, which is the design is already done. You're just like making revisions and making sure it's ready to go to press and things like that. And that was mostly, there was rebranding projects for packaging, instruction manuals. There were like promotional flyers, social media ads, things like that. Well, the artwork for social media ads, they did have somebody who actually like did the copy and posted them, but
mm-hmm.
I think mostly stuff like that.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Do you have an up-to-date resume and portfolio?
Yes.
You do?
I need to get in contact with, I meant to do that today. I forgot. I need to email the creative director from Greenlee, because there was like one or two pieces I meant to request and save, and I forgot. But she's given me a couple of pieces already, so I don't think that'll be a problem.
Oh, okay, awesome. So my suggestion, and I'm totally down to brainstorm this with you ongoing for the next couple weeks until something clicks.
Yeah.
I would recommend getting your portfolio up to date, up to speed, and representative of the kind of work that you want to be doing or are adept at doing.
Right.
And then look into which industries are booming right now because
right.
of COVID, and which industries are really struggling right now. Because there's usually a space, whether things are going really well, where people are needing help, or
yeah.
things are not going well and people are needing help, right?
Right.
So, and anything from, like, large-scale companies down to, I know this is really random, but I know that subscription boxes are doing really well right now because they're a way for businesses to ship to local or national, their products and goods without people having to go out and shop and like pick their
right.
stuff up.
Yeah.
So.
It's funny you mentioned subscription boxes, cause I was actually talking with my Facebook group just a couple weeks ago about starting a, paint kit subscription service. And
cool.
right. And they are totally all in. And I've been thinking on it for the last couple of weeks, trying to brainstorm how am I going to post it on my website and how am I going to make it actually. So because there's the brushes, and I just ordered some brush sets and paint palettes and some more canvases. Those all just came in within the last few days. So the idea, I think, is going to be there's going to be like the initial paint kit, which has like three traced canvases, so you've got the image on there already. Your paint brushes, your paint palette,
love this.
And then the paints that you're going to need for the pieces, right? And then you get all of those together, and that's your initial kit. Keep your brushes and keep your paint palette. And then after that, I'll set, like, maybe monthly, I think. I'm probably going to try it monthly to start, or bi-monthly. I haven't decided yet. I'll send 3 new traced canvases and the paints for those with each subsequent fulfillment. So you still have your initial, and it'll be less expensive the subsequent months.
Right, because you'll have your, yeah.
Yep.
That's so cute. I love that idea. If I lived in the States, I would be on that list. That's awesome. Yeah, so doing your own subscription box, that's awesome too.
Right?
Yeah. I could see, if that were a direction that you wanted to go in, I could see that doing really well during this, lockdown is kind of happening again, I think, who knows, but.
Most likely. So Illinois is doing really good right now, yeah. But we'll see how long that lasts. I mean, Chicago is like, as far as the city of Chicago is concerned, they're like, if you've gone to any of these 15 states, you are required to do a 14-day quarantine or you're going to get a fine. And I'm like, how are they going to enforce that?
Yeah, right. You're grounded.
Right. It's like, how are you really going to enforce that? Come on.
But I love this idea. So backing up a little bit, I was thinking about most people who I would think, based on what I've seen, that most people who are coming up with these like DIY at home business side hustle ideas, right, subscription boxes, etc., probably aren't the best graphic designers, probably aren't the best like promo kit creators. So
I'm currently in Paint Party headquarters, which is a paid Facebook group.
Oh,
and it's awesome. The lady who runs it, she really knows her shit inside and out. It's a fantastic group. But I really haven't done much in there like the last couple of months, so I've kind of like been thinking and reevaluating. But yeah, some of the ladies are, and it's mostly women. Some of the ladies are design oriented, but a lot of them not so much. So there could be some opportunity there I haven't really explored yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one niche in a whole spectrum of niches is subscription boxes. And I only happen to know this because another client of mine is like doing that right now. And it's going
really well. Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I never would have thought, but I was like, holy shit, that makes so much sense. Local businesses are not getting enough foot traffic and people at home are getting bored with their stuff. So of course, subscription box of locally made goods.
Yeah. Oh man. That's actually perfect. I got that just touched something else off for me too. I need to explore.
Awesome. So looking into my suggestion would be to do some research around which industries are booming, which industries are struggling, and how can you come in with your portfolio and your expertise, because you're really good at what you do. You've got a lot of experience and a really strong strong track record and portfolio. So instead of what I see a lot, and I don't think you and I I don't think we got to the point where we touched on this in our work together because you found something. But a lot of times, we're so conditioned to be like, oh, let me look online and see if there's any job postings. Let me see what, monster.com or Glassdoor or whatever.
Right.
Or the other one that I can't think of at the moment. And it's very much like, I don't want to say it's hopeless at all, but sending in a resume portfolio to these like gigantic conglomerates that are intaking thousands and thousands of resumes a day is a lot. It's not very promising, to be honest. But outreach and being proactive and and, you know, doing some research to find out what are the companies or industries that I could be a good fit for, and then actually reaching out to them and saying, hey, I noticed that this and this in your business, like your website looks looks like this, or your, you know, your printed material, whatever it is, like you noticed something where they could probably vastly improve their brand, their image, their messaging, and by so doing, increase their revenue. And I would be happy to come in and help you with that, right? So pointing out a problem that they may or may not even be aware of, and making basically like making them an offer or setting up a meeting that way. And that way you have more agency and control over who your potential candidates are, if you will.
Right. Yeah.
And you can make sure that it's virtual, right? It's like you can look at the virtual space, which right now is booming. I mean, there are industries that are having to move online so quickly that they're scrambling to get enough help to help them do that. So I would be interested to see what you find in terms of how you might be able to fit in there. And then also just on the tip of what we were talking about tonight as a group, like, feel free to post your portfolio and your resume in LFP, you know, if anybody needs or could use support with anything that I can do or have, you know, to offer.
Right.
Or freelancing here and there, and you never know.
Yeah, I've already got a basic contract written up, so.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
It's more for illustration than design, but I mean, few tweaks here and there, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and you never know what people are looking for, so that's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let me know what you find in those directions, and then, you know, feel free to reach out if you have any questions or want to brainstorm this, and I'll let you know if anything comes up for me as well.
Okay.
And definitely send me your resume and your portfolio, because I know that I'm going to be needing support in certain areas in the next few months. I just don't know exactly where, because I've talked to my people, my team. But if there's any way that I can utilize your help, I will definitely do so. So.
That would be awesome. I would be thrilled.
Awesome. Yeah, like I'm all about keeping it in the family. Like if LFP can be a self-sustaining enterprise, like hell yeah, let's do it.
You know? Whatever works, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, awesome. Well, thanks for staying a little bit or a lot of it over.
Thank you, Fawn. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Yeah, let me know if you have any questions or if you just want to keep me updated. I'm totally here.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, have a great rest of your night. Bye, Ren.
You too. Good night.
Yeah, bye.